We declare the government of Jesus Christ. We declare thy kingdom. Somebody agree with me right now. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. At Catalyst as it is in heaven, Lord, may be manifested here on earth, O Lord, even as it is in heaven, Lord. Bless this time together, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. The message today is called True Worshippers Bring Heaven to Earth. Turn to your neighbor and say that again. True worshipers bring heaven to earth. Psalm 100, verses 1 to 5. Psalm 100, very well-known psalm. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. Say it with me. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I don't know about you, but that doesn't sound boring to me. That sounds pretty exciting. It sounds like when you come into church and you go and you come with praise and thanksgiving and you're shouting and you're rejoicing, it sounds like you're having a party to me. It sounds like going before the presence of the Lord is pretty exciting. And then our other text is John 4:23. John 4:23. But the time is coming. This is Jesus speaking to the woman at the well. But the time is coming. Indeed, it's here now. Everybody say now. When true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth, because the Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. God is looking for true worshipers. It must be important if God is looking for something. I mean, God doesn't have any needs, right? He has everything. How many of you know God doesn't need anything from us, really? In a material sense, in a natural sense, he doesn't need anything from us. But God wants a connection with us. Are you with me this morning? God wants a relationship with us. That's what he's looking for. And this worship is the means by which we draw near to God. Worship is the gateway. Worship is the opportunity for us to experience the atmosphere of heaven. To experience what it feels like to be in God's presence, because in his presence there is joy, hallelujah, and at his right hand there are pleasures forevermore. God is looking for true worshipers. Are you a true worshiper? Ask yourself this question. Am I a true worshiper? True worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. First of all, what does that mean? What does it mean to worship in spirit and in truth? Well, let's break it down. Worship in spirit has to do with worshiping from the person's heart, from your inner person. It's not just singing songs. You can sing a song without your heart being in it. You can clap your hands and your mind is 50 miles somewhere else. God says, I want worship to be in the spirit. I want it to come from somewhere deep inside of you. Say deep, deep inside of you. From the inner person, from the deepest place within you, worship needs to come to God from that deep place. And then it says, in truth, in spirit and in truth. What is it in truth? What does that mean? It means in recognition of who God is. I'm not just worshiping a stranger. I'm not just worshiping the force. I'm not just worshiping some foreign God. I'm worshiping the God who's really there. Hallelujah. The God who has revealed himself in scripture. The one who came into my life and gave me a brand new heart and gave me a brand new future. That's the one I'm worshiping. The one who loved me and gave himself for me. Hallelujah. I'm worshiping a God we know. He told the woman, you Samaritans worship a God you don't even know. But Christians are worshiping God that we know because we're worshiping in truth, the truth of the scriptures, the truth of the character of God. We're worshiping the God of truth, the God who we know is a God of power. He's a God of forgiveness. He's a God that's eternal. He's a God that's omniscient. This is the kind of truth that you worship God with, this knowledge of the character and the attributes of God. The awareness of who He is. What He means to you personally. That's the way you become a true worshiper. You worship God from your inner being, the deepest place inside of you. And then you worship God because of who He is, like we sang before. He's Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. He's my peace. You worship according to truth. Don't just worship blindly. Worship something about God. Lord, I thank You that You delivered me. Lord, I thank You that You're faithful. You love me, Lord, and You never gave up on me. That's truth. That's worshiping God in truth. Now, we all agree that circumstances in life sometimes are against us. You know, how many of you can say that even this week you faced some struggles? Come on, be honest. How many of you faced some struggles this week? It's okay. But something amazing happens, even supernatural, when we focus our eyes and hearts on God. We take our eyes off ourselves. We take our eyes off the problems. And we put our eyes on the greatness and the mercy and the goodness of God. The God who promised to never leave us nor forsake us. The God who is greater than any burden I carry. The God who has never failed. Hallelujah. Something begins to happen. Our focus changes. Our heart begins to be encouraged. Depression begins to leave. Hallelujah. The impossible all of a sudden seems possible. Are you with me this morning? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When you have a God consciousness, your life becomes in alignment and you're in a position to be blessed from heaven. When you come before His presence with awe and reverence and you're paying attention to God, you're now prepared to be blessed by God. Amen. Come on now. Amen. Your life is becoming in alignment under the Lordship of Christ, but also under the blessing of Christ. And the Holy Spirit can rain down on you. Hallelujah. Amen. Power is released when you're in the presence of God. Hope rises. Darkness flees. Depression leaves. And guidance comes. Hallelujah. In the presence of God. How many of you have experienced this? That in the presence of God, amazing things have happened to you when you've been worshiping. Anybody? When you worship with all your heart, something happens. Would you recommend it to somebody? Would you recommend true worship to somebody? All right. It makes a difference. When David played, the psalmist David played for King Saul, the demonic spirit left. David was worshiping on his little harp. And all of a sudden, Saul was able to fall asleep. He was being tormented. Elisha was upset because of the presence of the wicked king, Jehoram, and they wanted him to give a prophecy. And, you know, it's not much in the text, but you get the impression that what Elisha was saying, get me a minstrel, was that I'm upset right now. I need to just worship for a few minutes and calm down. I can't give a prophecy right now because Jehoram, this wicked king, is following all these false idols. And if it were not for Jehoshaphat, the godly king, I wouldn't even look at you, Jehoram. Imagine telling that to a king. And so the minstrel comes and plays and Elisha calms down. The Spirit of God comes upon him. He's in the presence of God. He gets rid of all the baggage, all the junk that's bothering him. And all of a sudden he gives a word. He tells them, dig this valley full of ditches. Dig some ditches because the rain's coming. Hallelujah. Prepare for rain. But there's no water. We're in a desert. God said, dig a ditch. Prepare for rain. How many of you rather obey the prophet or obey God than listen to your own feelings? Amen? That God can work miracles in His presence through our praises. Praises are facilitating the activity of God in your life. You ought to write some of this down. Turn your bulletin over and write, praise and worship is facilitating the activity of God in your life. It's also stopping the devil. Psalm 8, verse 2. Psalm 8, verse 2. I believe we have this one. This I love because even children can praise the Lord. The Bible says, look at this verse. Through the praise of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against my enemies. to silence the foe and the avenger. That even a child's praise shuts the mouth of Satan. That's what it says. I don't know if you have that in the NIV version. I'm not sure if that's NIV. But anyway, my version says, listen carefully, through the praise of children and infants, you, God, have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. Even a child's praise shuts the devil's mouth. Hallelujah! Woo, that's what it says. Worship is the right way to approach God. I have learned this as I've gotten older, that I don't try to rush my requests with God. Are you with me this morning? I try to spend a few minutes just honoring Him first. You know, it's the right way to come to. There are protocols when you're going to meet a famous person or you're in a very special gathering. If you're called to a state dinner at the White House or to a royal banquet at Buckingham Palace, you don't show up in your jeans and your sneakers. Come on now, somebody. There's some protocol. This is going to be a black tie affair. Hallelujah. The woman's going to want to rent a good dress, or if she doesn't have a gown, she's going to go get one. Husband's going to cost you something. It's going to cost you something because this is a state dinner. This is a royal banquet. There's some protocol. And yet sometimes, you know, we talk to God and we treat God like He's just, you know, somebody that we just use and abuse and just put on the side, you know. He is the King of Kings and He is the Lord of Lords. You know, just to give you a little idea, I don't want to sidetrack too much here, but I want to get, when God showed up in the presence of people in the Bible, it's really amusing to see the reactions. The people fainted flat out right off the bat. I mean, they just passed out. Other people ran in fear. Other people like went into a trance. They were like Daniel was praying and the angel said, Daniel, come on, calm down. And he says, Daniel, get off your feet. He's shaking, trembling, looked like he fainted. And the angel says, Daniel, get up. He says, how can I get up when I can't even breathe? We have made God too small. In His presence, we should be amazed. We should be in awe. We should be in wonder of the presence of the majesty. Hallelujah. Of God Almighty. And it's not like I said before, it's not like, you know, God needs that, but He asks for it. He invites us. The text we read, shout for joy to the Lord, worship the Lord with gladness, come before Him with joyful songs, know that the Lord is God, enter His gates with... These are not suggestions, these are written in the imperative form of grammar. In other words, these are a command. This is a command. Come before the Lord with singing. Enter His gates with thanksgiving, His courts with praise. Be reverent before the Lord. It's also humbling. When you praise and worship, true worship, you recognize, I'm not it, God is it. I'm not all that, God is all that. I need to get low, hallelujah. I need to humble myself under the mighty hand of God. So we come humbly with reverence, thanks, amazement, because we are aware of who He really is. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 95, verses 6 and 7. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. When's the last time you bowed down? I'm just saying. Don't get mad at me. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't get mad at the pastor. I'm just saying, when's the last time you bowed down? If you were in front of Queen Elizabeth, you'd have to at least do a curtsy, right? Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Sometimes I tell you, and again, I'm sidetracking a little bit here, but my wife and I have been literally flat out on our face before God. Partly because we were desperate, and partly because His presence is so awesome. You feel like, I just need to bow before Him. You can't be afraid of worship and praise. I want to say this especially to the men. Men are a little bit harder. It's a little harder for men to praise the Lord. Would you agree with me on that? Anybody agree with me on that? It's a little harder for men? I think the reason for that is because we feel like we have to be strong. And we don't show emotion as readily. And, you know, we want to be steady. We want to be sober and strong and all of that. But we need to learn to praise the way they did in the Bible. When David praised the Lord, he was so excited. He took off his cloak and was, you know, praising God with just his jogging shorts and his tracksuit. Come on now. I don't know what it was, but it was apparently improper. He had something on. Come on now. Don't get mad at me. But it was a tad embarrassing for his wife, Michal, Saul's daughter, who was watching him through a window. So look at that fool dancing like that and worshiping God. And he goes in and she says to him, What kind of fool were you dancing like that without your royal robe on, acting like a little, like a servant, like a base fellow, a servant? He said, it is God. It is God that I'm worshiping before, not your father, whom I replaced as kings. She made fun of him. And he says, no, it's not before people. It's not before you. It's before God. And I will even be more foolish. And don't tell me David wasn't a real man. Come on now. He cut off the head of Goliath. Don't get me started. He was no wimp. He was a man's man. He was a warrior. And yet he danced like a fool in the presence of the Lord. And he wrote more than half of the Psalms in the Bible. It's also the atmosphere of heaven. If you don't enjoy praise and worship, you're going to be a tad uncomfortable in heaven. How many of you want to be ready for heaven? You don't want to miss it. Let me read to you a little bit here about heaven, okay? Revelation 5, verse 11. I think we have this. Revelation 5, verse 11. This is John the Apostle saying he had this revelation, this vision of heaven. Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. He had a vision of heaven. He describes it to us. The living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. In other words, millions. Saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature, somebody say every creature which is in heaven and on earth and under the earth and in the sea, all of them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever and ever. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Hallelujah. Isaiah, the prophet, same thing in chapter 6, had the vision of heaven. I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. His robe was so glorious, it filled the temple. And the presence of God, there was the glory cloud of God. The threshold of the temple shook as the angels said, holy, holy, holy. These weren't no little cherub. You know the little cherub you see on the Hallmark cards with the little bow and arrow? These were serious dudes, these angels. Because a little cherub doesn't cry out, holy, holy, and the whole place shakes. But read the text. The angels cried, holy, holy, holy. And the threshold, that is the doorway, in other words, the whole frame of the building shook with the presence of God. This is serious stuff. This is not for the faint-hearted. So let me try to wrap this up today, okay? In our lives, in our personal lives, we emphasize two main ways to grow in being a true worshiper, inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly and outwardly. Inwardly, we want to have that inner esteem towards God, because if you're not respecting God, and if you're not in amazement, and if you're not crazy about him, why would you worship him? So there's the first place to start. Are you with me? Do you reverence God? How do you feel about it? Is he your hero? You know, we like to see our superstars, the sports figures, you know, whoever your famous quarterbacks are or whatever, basketball players. We would be so honored to go out to lunch with somebody like that. Worship, the word worship means to adore, to ascribe worth to the person you're worshiping. Stay with me. So the first part is inward. Worship and praise, two parts, two ways in which we grow, inwardly and outwardly. So first of all, check out your heart. Is there gratitude there? Is there adoration? Is there a sense of reverence? Is there a sense of awe? Is there a sense that you're in love with God? And that can happen without making a sound. This is the part of this I love. Some of you are going to miss this, but some of you will get this. The part of it I love is that the inward part, it doesn't take any expression, any outward manifestation. You could sit, be still, and know that I am God. See, that's worship. It starts on the inside. And how many of you have ever had a moment in your life where you were so in awe of God, you just shut up and I'm in awe. I'm just going to sit here and just soak this in. Be still and know that I am God. Be still, God says. So that's the attitude. That's the adoration that's inside. Then praise is the manifestation. So praise is the physical manifestation of my attitude towards God. So I clap with my hands and I sing with my lips and I dance, and I don't dance very well, but I try to dance, and the guys make fun of me, like Jimmy makes fun of me when I dance, hallelujah. But hey, I'm gonna be okay, because if David could dance and look like a fool, I'm gonna dance before the Lord too, hallelujah. Hallelujah. So inwardly and outwardly, you need both. You need both. You have to start off with a heart that is in love with God. And if that's not correct, then you need to check yourself out. Why am I not in love with God? Why would I want to follow God? Why would I want to praise Him in heaven if I'm not amazed by Him, if I'm not influenced, if I'm not impressed? Are you impressed with God? Are you impressed with God? Are you a true worshiper? So, you know, the Bible is full of people that connected with God through praise and worship. And I want to tell you this, when I'm trying to hurry to close. We haven't reached our true reason for existence without praise. We were created to make His praise glorious. We were created for intimate relationship with God. In heaven, we're going to join that multitude. Hallelujah. Woo, glory. We're going to join the multitude in heaven with the palm branches. It says, glory and honor and praise and power. Hallelujah be unto you, Lord, and to the Lamb. For you, Lord, have given your lives. You were slain for the sins of the world. Hallelujah. But you were raised again. And now you're seated on the throne of God's glory. Hallelujah. Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive honor and glory and power and dominion and praise. 1 Peter 2:9. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Now, that's good so far, right? But why? Everybody say, why? Why am I a chosen person, a royal priesthood, a holy nation? The rest of it says, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. That looks like a reason for being right there. You know, the raison d'être, they say in French, right? That's your reason for being. To be a one who declares the praises who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. And yet sometimes we're reluctant or embarrassed to praise Him. David said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will. And Angel, you've said this many times in leading us in worship. And thank you, brother. You do such a good job. God bless you. In the hard times, in the good times, in the mountaintop, in the valley, I will bless the Lord at all times. When Job was afflicted with all of those afflictions, after all those things happened, the Bible very clearly says, what's the first thing he did? Do you remember? Anybody remember? He fell down and worshiped God. Fell on his face and worship. You read it. Read it in the book of Job. He fell down and worshiped God. So let me leave you with these three things. I'm not going to go deeply into them. But worship gets your eyes off yourself and focuses them on God. Worship and praise, number two, releases the presence of God. Not just hand clapping and just saying a song, but worship in spirit and in truth releases the presence of God. Are you with me? And number three, worship and praise is a powerful weapon against the schemes of the enemy. As I read to you before from Psalm 8, even the praise of children and infants has established a stronghold against the enemy. We remember the story of Paul and Silas in prison. Paul and Silas in prison with the in chains, had been beaten within an inch of their life. How many of you would not be in a good mood if you had just been beaten half to death and you're in chains in this dark dungeon? And yet Paul and Silas turned to one another and they began to pray and they sang praises to God. The Bible says God sent an earthquake. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. God sent an earthquake. Don't let the devil rob your praise, my friend. And if he can't rob your praise, he'll try to distract you. He wants to distract you from being a true worshiper. A true worshiper is invincible. Hallelujah. A true worshiper is in the victory. Hallelujah. A true worshiper will see heaven come down and the glory of God will fill your soul. Hallelujah. Lord, in Jesus' name, let's bow our heads. In Jesus' name, Lord, rebuke, O Father, every scheme of the enemy, Lord, to stop us from worship. The accuser of the brethren is a liar. Everybody say, Satan is a liar. And he wants to make us think that we are what? Well, we are paupers, that we are paupers, but when instead we're children of the King. So lift up the mighty shield of faith, for the battle has been won. We know that Jesus Christ has risen, and the work is already done. So praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Give the Lord a mighty hand of praise. Let's stand up together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I want us to just wait in the presence of the Lord for a moment. Just softly, just softly. Hallelujah. I want you to just take this message to your heart right now. Am I a true worshiper? Am I embarrassed to raise my hand even? Am I embarrassed to open my mouth? Your praise shall ever be on my lips, the song says. Your praise shall ever be on my lips. Hallelujah. Let's ask the Holy Spirit for a few moments as we wait. Let's take a little moment here to wait on the Lord, because I feel like God wants to speak to some hearts here today.